I apologize. I have been gone so much, and I hate it. I like to be home. I'm a homebody. How many of you are homebodies?
Amen.
Amen. I like to be home. I enjoy that, but sometimes it can't be helped, and I have to be gone again this Sunday, unfortunately. We've got some sad news in our family that my brother-in-law has passed away. It was my youngest sister's husband. By the way, I've never seen a change in a life greater than this fella, than T.J. Sisto. I'll never forget the day I first saw him. He was a hippie on drugs, full beard. I mean, he just looked like, but when he got saved, everything changed in his life. Became a sheriff's deputy in his life, a deacon in the church, and clean cut, the beard, all that's gone. Amen. And past life's behind you. And I tell you what, it'll change your life to know. It's a blessing to know that God's still working in people's lives and that God's still changing people. You know, sometimes we get this idea that, you know, God's not working in people's lives, but may I tell you what, he still is. He's still working in people's lives. And so I thank the Lord for that. And the funeral will be on Saturday at 5 o'clock. So we covet your prayers for us and the family while we travel, but also for my sister. On April 18th, they posted a picture. They were together in Hawaii doing well, and everything was fine. And some very, very aggressive cancer took hold of his body, and he passed away this morning. And you never know. But you got to serve God with the time that you got. Amen. Stay busy. Don't quit. Because when life comes to an end, you're going to be glad you served the Lord and stuck with it in the hard times. Romans chapter number 12. We're going to begin with verse number 5 tonight. Romans chapter 12, verses 5 through 13, talk about a Christian's relationship with other Christians. And then verses 14 through 21, the Bible talks about a Christian's relationship with the lost or those who are not saved. And then chapter 13 deals with a Christian's relationship to government. There's a lot of scripture about how we ought to treat each other, how we ought to treat the lost, and how we ought to treat our government. And God gives us these things. So Lord willing, the next three Sundays, we'll look at those. But tonight, we're going to look at the first section, a Christian's relationship with other Christians. So with that in mind, let's begin with verse number 5 out of Romans chapter number 12. Notice here, speaking to the church, the Apostle Paul's writing here to the church of Rome, and he gives them these words. He says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." Let's pray tonight. Father, we ask your blessings and we ask your help tonight as we open the Bible tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord, tonight. And Lord, some have had busy weeks, some are tired tonight, but I pray, God, you'd help us to give our hearts to hearing thy word and the Holy Spirit tonight as we open the Bible. God, use us, fill us with your power and your spirit tonight as we give your word. We ask, may every hearer, Lord, hear from you tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bible talks here in these passages that we read, particularly about the relationship of God's people with each other. And he talks here about, in verse number 4, the context here, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ makes an important point here about the church and its operation. And he says that though we're many members, we're one body. Though we're many members, we are work together as one. And of course, in 1 Corinthians, he talks about this again. And he said, if the foot shall say to the hand, I have no need of thee. That doesn't work, right? I mean, just do away with your hand and see if you need it, right? You're going to need your hand. And so the scripture's saying a church is made up of many people, but it should act like one body. You know, the world looks at, more should look at More Baptist Church as one body. We're one. And God meant the church to be that way. He meant it to operate as one. And so now, for it to operate as one, then it has to work together as one in the Bible and according to Scripture. And so he gives us points here on how it happens. Now he talks about gifts. According to verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, let me stop and say right here that, you know, God gives people in a church certain gifts. Some have a gift, they're able to sing, and some are able to do different things. I don't know, but I believe everybody has some ability to do something that benefits the church. It's like saying every part of our body, what does my baby toe do? What does it accomplish? Well, if you took the baby toe off, you'd find out it'd be hard to stand, right? So it has a purpose, it has a function. Some are seen, some are not. Some functions are obvious, some are not. But may I tell you, Jesus is trying to say, God's church works together as one. And God can work through a church that recognizes and submits to God's purpose for the church. And when that's in place, it is exactly what God meant it to be to a lost and a dying world. Because that's what the church is here. You know, we're not here to have church just for us. We're here to have church to become one, to go out as one into a lost and a dying world and reach this lost and dying world. That's what God saved us for. You know, it's sad. Sometimes a disagreement will happen in a church. Sometimes matters of opinion. You know, I've learned this. Opinions about certain things really don't matter. Have you ever learned that? Yeah. Opinions are like armpits. Yeah, that's right. We all have a couple of them, and sometimes they really stink. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Don't rest your life and your knowledge on opinion. Rest your knowledge on God's Word. Amen. And you know, opinion, when somebody gives an opinion, even about someone else in the church, you know, that can cause a bad thing between two people in the church. And the church is supposed to act as one. We're one body, right? And so, you know, sometimes it's a good thing to just keep your opinion to yourself. Amen? Especially if you realize that opinions really don't mean a hill of beans in the ultimate weight of an opinion. What matters is God's Word. And that's what we should weigh heavy. And so he's saying here, realize these things. Now, number one, realize that God uses other gifts, others with gifts that you may not possess. God uses others with gifts that you may not possess. But that's okay. God's given you something that you can use for God. Yes. Amen? God's given you something that you can use for God. Are you using what you have for God? Sometimes we'll look at a person that has a gift. Maybe they can sing or play the piano, or maybe they can teach well or do certain things well in the church. And sometimes a jealousy will crop up. Boy, I wish I could do that. Maybe God didn't give you certain things for certain reasons. Maybe he did give you something that you can do for a different purpose and different reason. And God does that. God does that in the church. And sometimes a jealousy can crop up. Oh, they always get to be up there seen. They're always up there singing. They're just singing so they can be seen. That's a jealousy. That's a jealousy. That shouldn't be in God's house. You know why? Because we're one. Everybody's got it. Some have different gifts that God's given them. And jealousy should not be harbored in our heart. Boy, if somebody can get up and sing, praise the Lord. I know one thing, God didn't give me that gift. Amen?
Amen.
Don't say amen too loud. Amen. All right, now notice verse number 9. Here's the second thing I want you to notice tonight. Notice verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Now, God's people are supposed to love each other. We're supposed to love each other in this church. Now, the word dissimulation, I want to get it right here. The word dissimulation means not without sincerity. In other words, God said everybody should love everybody sincerely. Sincerely, genuinely. You know that person that kind of bugs you, rubs you the wrong way? Or that person, maybe your personality is very different than that person. Be careful that you don't love them less than what you love somebody who you do get along with. Let love be without dissimulation. Let it be a sincere love because it's one body. Amen. And by the way, you can love anybody in the Lord. And I'm talking about a brotherly love, a spiritual, godly love. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. And he talks about that here, brotherly love. That brotherly love should continue. And so, sometimes we treat other Christians fake. It's quiet on that one. There was no amens. Maybe I ought to park there a while. Sometimes we treat other Christians fake. But you know, God says his church is one body. And it should act as one. And there should be no dissimulation in that body. Amen. Amen. It should be that way. From the youngest to the oldest. From the weakest to the strongest. From the nicest to the meanest. God's people should have a love without dissimulation. So this is the kind of love that Christ had. Do you ever see God loving somebody differently than he loves somebody else? You don't see that. You see a sincere, genuine love that Christ gave to the whole world. So it ought not be that way. So then number 3, notice he says here, thirdly, treat others with brotherly love, preferring one another. Notice verse 10. He says there, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. You know, our problem as human beings is we're too selfish. We think about ourselves a lot. We want others to please us. That's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God ought to be, what can I do to please others? What can I do to prefer somebody else over me? You know what we say? We say, I want them to like me or prefer me. That wasn't what Jesus did. That wasn't his spirit. The spirit of Jesus was, I'm going to prefer other people over myself. I'm going to prefer somebody else. When was the last time you let somebody else go first? When we were kids, we used to fight over who got to sit in the front seat. How many of you ever did that? How many of your kids still do that? Okay. And we called it shotgun. I get shotgun. Right? I get shotgun. Well, what gave you the right to give shotgun? Sometimes my dad said, if we fought over it, my dad said, now you both sit in the back. And nobody sat shotgun. So we learned to whisper to each other, I got shotgun. Don't let dad hear it. I got shotgun. No, I got shotgun. I got shotgun. After a while, we started getting smart. Okay, you get it on the way up, I'll get it on the way back. That way dad won't hear us fight. You got to get smart, right? Wouldn't it be good if we let other people go before us, preferred other people before us? Wouldn't it be good if we were in the store? You know, I was driving down the highway and we were stopped in traffic. And there was a guy in the pickup and he, in a pickup truck. Everybody's waiting in line. And there's a guy in a pickup truck and he's driving like a madman down the shoulder so he could pass up everybody. What if everybody did that? What if everybody did that? He wasn't preferring anybody but himself, was he? You know, we live in a world like that, and can I tell you what? The sign of a true Christian is a person who prefers others better than himself. You know what we have to do every day? We got to get up and die to this old flesh. We got to wake up every morning and say, flesh, you're not going to rule me. I'm going to let God rule my life today. We got to die to self. Die daily, the Apostle Paul said. Every morning we got to get up, we got to wake up and say, this old flesh will take over. It will prefer me today over whom I should be preferring. And by the way, you'll miss soul winning opportunities when you're just preferring yourself. You miss soul winning opportunities. You miss an opportunity to hand out tracts. Amen. So I'm saying, Jesus is teaching us a church acts where we prefer one another. Where we prefer. Do you know how many people have left the church because somebody was thinking of themselves? Now, they really shouldn't. You shouldn't carry your feelings on your shoulders, right? You really shouldn't. But sometimes a person's weak. And sometimes a person doesn't know right. And I know a young person that years ago, a young person walked into a church I pastored years ago in Colorado and sat in the back row, and a teenager just sit down and slump back. And a man walked up to the kid and said, you lousy, rotten kids, you better sit up straight, and just really got on them. Now, I think there's a good way to get on them. But he was very, very critical. And it was the first time this kid had ever been in a church. And yeah, he should have been sitting up. But you know what? That kid never went back to church again. He didn't go back to church again. And that's sad. That's sad. So I'm simply saying, prefer others. Prefer somebody else to yourself. When somebody else comes into church, you know, it's a good thing. If it's full, hey, here's a seat. You can have my seat. Amen. We get this. This is my seat. Amen. In my mind's eye, I know where everybody is. I can close my eyes. I know where you are. I know where you are because I know where you sit. Right? I know. Preachers know these things. But can I tell you something? What if some visitor came in and sat in your seat? I'll put that in quotation marks. We should be preferring somebody else. We should be glad that lost sinner's there, church. Amen. So it's part of a church working as one body that God wanted it to be. That's the purpose. All right, let's go on now. Number four. Number four is verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now notice these are connected with semicolons. Not slothful in business, semicolon. Fervent in spirit, semicolon. Serving the Lord. The thoughts all connect. And I'll help you understand a little bit what he's talking about here. But here's my point. Point number four is treat all your business with God's people with diligence. Treat your business with God's people with diligence. Let's talk about a Christian's business here for a little while. And this is a point I really wanted to get to tonight. But do you know, Christians sometimes, we should be very careful and very aware how a Christian does business with other Christians. Years ago, a man came to me. And he came to my office. He wanted my advice. He said, "Pastor, I sold a car to a lady in the church. And the lady in the church never paid me for the car." He said, "What do I do?" And I said, "Go over there and grab her by the throat and no. Think of that. What do you do? Now it's two people in the church. Was it right for the lady not to pay the man for the car? No, that's wrong. But what should the man do? My advice to him was to go to this lady, talk to her, and treat her. And if she didn't listen or was not able to pay, then he had to decide what was the Christian thing to do in the situation. Now that's a tough one. Because I want to tell you something. A Christian in a church, and hear me tonight, and I thank God we haven't had this problems like this in our church. But think of this. When you deal with somebody and they're a Christian, your Christianity, and you should put your Christianity and your church higher than your own pocketbook. Did you hear that? Put your Christianity and your church higher than your own pocketbook. Because usually when there's business dealings in the church, it's about what? Money. Mucho dinero. That's usually what it's about. And when it goes awry, somebody gets hurt or feels defrauded. But I'm going to tell you something. Scripture teaches to put your Christianity and put your church above your own self. That's why these three, that's why these all connect in thought here. Now, you know, everybody's going to have business dealings. Let's say I sold Jeremy down here. I sold Jeremy a car. That car was worth $5,000, and I'm going to give Jeremy a good deal. I'm going to sell it to him for $49.99. I'm going to give him a good deal, okay? So Jeremy comes up to me, and he pays me $49.99. I give him the keys and the title. The car is his. He drives down the road two blocks, and I know what's going to happen. The car's going to break down. The engine's going to blow. Does that happen to you? It happens to preachers. I'm so scared to sell a car because I know it's going to break down the minute I sell it to somebody. Right? What do we do about things like that? What do you do in a situation where that? You know what I would do as a preacher? I would either give him his money back or I would offer to fix it even though he bought it and sold it. I could say, "Sure, you drove it off the lot, buddy." That's what I could say, right? But every time he comes to church and he sits down and he looks at me, he's going to be thinking, "You lousy low down two-bit flea bitten varmint sold me that car for $49.99. It doesn't even run," right? But let me tell you something. He is more important to me, and the church is more important to me than money. And you know, God's people ought to get these kind of things because we run into business situations within the church sometimes. These kind of things happen. Years ago, I know a story. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But a wedding occurred, and a lady was paid within the church to do all the wedding dresses. And it came the day before the wedding, and the wedding dresses were not done, and the money was gone. Ooh. What do you do about situations like that? I want to tell you something. It's important always to remember something. Somebody may have to bite the bullet and pay some money. And was it right for that person to do that? No, it wasn't right. But I tell you what, that person and the church is a lot higher than the pocketbook, than the money. Amen. And I want to tell you something. It's not right if a Christian does that. And by the way, be careful in the church that you don't ever put yourself in a situation where you treat somebody else in the church wrongly. Be careful of that. Be careful that if you do have a business dealing of some kind, I think it's more important and extra important to go the second mile to make sure that business dealing is done right, well, to where both sides are satisfied and happy. Because the church and the people are more important than the money. And he's talking about business here. We all have business things and things that we do in business. And I want to give you some points about these things and business. There's two separate things. There's doing some business with somebody in the church, or there's a second category is going into partnership with somebody in a business in the church. And I want to address those two things. Now, we don't have a problem with this here. I thank God. That's especially why I want to preach on it. Amen? Because we don't have a problem with it now. But I'll tell you what, somewhere down the road, this will become relevant in your mind, and this will become important to you. And so I think there's some things that we ought to understand. Number one, choose to do business with those who have tested integrity. Now let me say that again. Choose to do business with someone who has tested integrity. In other words, if you're going to sell that car to somebody else in the church, do you know that they're going to have the tested integrity to pay it? If not, then put it on Marketplace and sell it there. That's my recommendation. And when if you go into a business and a partnership with somebody, you better make sure that there's some tested integrity in that person that you're dealing with. Because if not, and you're a Christian and you put your church and your testimony before all of that, you better make sure you're partnered with somebody that has tested integrity. Amen? Tested integrity. If you do that in the first place, you'll avoid a lot of trouble. Number two, put your Christianity and your church before money. Put your Christianity and your church before money. Hey, when you and I die and leave this earth, is the money going to matter? The money's not going to matter. Now, I understand sometimes people get involved in a lot of money, and it's difficult. I get it. And it's not right to do wrong. But if you've partnered with somebody who has tested integrity or done a business dealing with somebody in a church that has tested integrity, you're a lot going to have a lot better chance of not having a difficulty or a problem should things not work out like you wanted them to. All right? Number three. Are you still with me? Number three, don't allow money to destroy your relationship with another Christian. Don't allow money to destroy your relationship with another Christian. one of my kids called me about 3 months ago. They brought their car to somebody in the church to have them fix the air conditioner. Two church members. He got the car home. He paid $300, and he didn't hardly have that. And he paid the $300. He got it home, and a couple days later, it quit working. He called me up. Dad, what should I do? You know what I told him? I said, is your friendship more important than money? Is that guy more important to you than money? Yeah, but I want my air conditioner fixed. I said, is your friend more important than your money? You know what he did? He brought it back to the guy. He knew he'd have to pay more money to get it fixed again, thinking he might have gotten taken. But in the end, that man showed his Christianity and said, I'm not going to charge you any labor. I'll just charge you for the parts that I had to put on, but you don't have to pay me for any labor. And guess what? A friendship has stayed. A friendship has stayed. Let me tell you something. Your friendships with God's people are more important than $300. And your testimony in your church is more important than $300. And you coming to church and sitting across from that guy, rather than thinking, he stole my $300. Rather than thinking that in church. And one day, if you keep that up, you'll be out of church. Bitterness control your heart and your mind, and you'll start taking that relationship to everybody. And so I'm saying to you, don't allow money to destroy your relationship with another Christian. Number four, don't go into a partnership with a lost person. Don't ever get into a partnership with a lost person. You know why? Scripture, Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is, of course, no. My dad got into a partnership with an old friend years ago. They were going to build condominium complexes. My dad was going to be the builder, and the other man would provide the land. And they would split the profit right down the middle. That was the plan. But times got hard. And both of them ended up losing quite a bit of money. I think it was over $600,000 that they lost in the whole situation. And you know what? In the end, it got down to the man's lack of being a Christian that caused that partnership to go bad. Because you see, a lost person doesn't operate on the same principles that a Christian should. And if you get in a partnership with a lost person and things get tough and things get hard, and they will, then two different sets of principles are going to fall into action. And as a Christian, you don't want that in your life. So don't get into a business dealing with a lost person. Number five, are you still with me? Never sue another Christian. Don't take another Christian to court. Now, this is in the Bible. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Just a few pages over is where it is. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Now, Paul is talking to the church of Corinth here. And notice what he says. He says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Well, that's a whole nother sermon right there. How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one, that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Now, you see what Jesus is saying here? It's better to suffer or to feel like you got defrauded or the bad end of the stick. It's better to do that than it is to take another brother to court. And you may win the case, but in the end, you may have hurt your relationship with your brother, and you may have hurt your testimony, and the whole church may be hurt. Because see, isn't the church one? Didn't Jesus establish that? He said that already. So don't sue another brother. You know, I worked for Brother Spear for years. And there was an old car that was given to the church. And he found a lady that needed a car. He took that car and graciously gave it to that lady. Well, the lady never came and picked it up. And kids had taken rocks and broken out all the windows in the car. And so when the lady came to pick it up, she saw all the windows were broken out in the car that was given to her. And you know what? She wanted the church to pay for all the broken windows that were in it. Now, I didn't think that was right. But Brother Spear said, let's do this. Let's go before a man of wisdom. They both brought both sides to a godly man. And the godly man made the decision. And he said, I think for the testimony of the church, that the church ought to pay for those broken windows, even though the car was given to the lady, that the church should do that. And if the church does that, it will help protect the testimony of the church, and it will leave that woman's testimony also good toward the church. Now, I was young in the ministry, and you know what I thought? That's wrong. She was given that car, and she never picked it up. You know? How's that our fault? But Brother Spear wisely said, when this is all said and done, the testimony of the church and the testimony to that lady will be good. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And you know, these are principles. These are principles that if we grab a hold of these, we're going to have a blessed life. You may lose some money, you may lose some difficulty, but if you keep your testimony and you keep the testimony of God's church good, it will be a blessing. So, never sue another a Christian. Number five or number six, whatever number this is. Number next, right? Number next. Now, here's an important point. Decide how you would handle a business problem before the problem arises. If you make a partnership with somebody in the church, we're going to go into business. We're going to sell widgets together. Me and Brother Jeremy, we're going to sell widgets together. We're going to go in 50-50. And we're going to sell widgets, okay? wait a minute. We better decide how we're going to handle things before the problem arises, because I may order 20,000 widgets and he may say, Bro Larson, you ordered too many widgets. How are we going to pay for those widgets? Well, you're going to get out and sell them. Can you see how conflict happens? But a wise Christian will sit down before they ever do any kind of dealings or any kind of business and sit down and write it down on paper how you're going to proceed, and both of you sign it. You know why? Because if things come difficulty, if difficulty strikes or a disagreement occurs, you can always go back and say, you signed your name to doing it this way. This is how you're going to handle it. This is your word on it. Right? And can I tell you what? If you have a plan to do fix problems before they can occur. And by the way, this is the best planner right here to help fix and prepare problems. And lie. You know, sometimes a Christian will get into a dealing with another Christian and think, oh, they're another Christian. Everything's just going to work out perfect. Doesn't always work out. It should, but it doesn't always work out that way. And so decide how you're going to handle a business problem before that problem arises. Number 7, realize the devil will try to divide you and another Christian. You realize the devil can use a business dealing to divide two people? You realize that? You know, Brother Jeremy, he could be unhappy with me for ordering 20,000 widgets. You know, you say, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to say here that the devil, he'll try to use it to divide. And what you had originally started to do good, the devil used it to divide you. Are you aware of that? Are you aware that the devil's tactic is to divide and conquer? You know, in warfare, if the enemy can be divided, they can be conquered, even though the numbers on the other side are less. It's a military tactic. You know, the devil, he knows that. If he can keep people divided, and that's why God's church says that it's one body. It's one body. So, realize the devil. What is the key ingredient? The key ingredient in business dealings is character and maturity. Character and maturity. If you give your word to somebody, you keep your word. Amen? Even if you lose something because of it, your word is more important than what you lost. And by the way, do you realize that if you keep your integrity, God will bless you? Do you realize that? If you keep a friend and God rewards you for keeping that friend, that's called a win-win situation. Amen? You know, a lot of Christians don't think that way. And the devil uses it to divide us and conquer. And he'll definitely do it to God's people. Number 8. If you end up losing something with another Christian but keep your friend, God blesses you for that. Now, go back if you would. Go back if you would to Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 13. Romans chapter 12, look again, verse 13. He's connecting all these thoughts in our relationship with other God's people. Notice he says, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Somebody persecutes you, you're supposed to bless them back. Ooh, that's hard. You say, that's not easy. But Christ in us can help us be that way. Christ in us. Christ in us can help us to bless when we are cursed. And that's God's way. So if you end up losing something, but keep your friend, God will bless you. He eventually will return it because he's a good God. And he'll bless you. And he'll take care of the situation. You'll keep a friend, you'll keep your testimony, and you'll keep a good thing going in a church. Amen. Next point. Are you still with me? Last point. Resolve matters by putting your Christianity in your church before your pocketbook. Resolve matters by putting your Christianity and your church before your pocketbook. You know what God's trying to teach us? There's some priorities in life that are more important. There's some things in life that are more important than money. Of course, we have to have money to live. It's a necessary evil, isn't it? We have to have it to live. And we don't like to get taken or get stomped on. I've told that story about I went in a break brake shop when I was in Bible college. And my brakes were going bad. I didn't have money. And I pulled in the brake shop, and man, this guy said, it's going to cost you $268. Well, it might as well have been $2,000. And I pulled in that shop, and by the way, being poor has its advantages. Amen? Because I said, I haven't got $268, so you're just going to have to let me go, and I'll just go down the road like every other crazy person drives down the road. And I went to another shop, and I pulled in that shop, and I said, can you give me a quote on my brakes? The man looked at me, and he said, oh, all you need is a little part here, and I think I can weld it. Really? Yeah, that's all you need. He put it on there, welded it, clipped it on. 5 minutes. I said, how much? He said, $5. Poverty has its advantages. Amen. Now, we don't like to get taken. And sometimes we'll think, sometimes even in a business dealing with another Christian, that we got taken. But I want to tell you something. God will bless you for being a mature Christian to sometimes overlook. And maybe you have to take that brunt. But listen, if you've done a business with someone with tested character, and you've put down how you're going to do the agreement on paper, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble should a disagreement occur. I think it's just a point of wisdom in business. And notice what he said about business. He said, not slothful in business. Not slothful. In other words, he's speaking about diligence in business. Especially when it comes to being with God's people. Now, I'm not saying don't ever sell your car to somebody in the church. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm saying if you sell your car to somebody in the church, make sure you know they have character. And make sure the agreement is right and written down before you do it. And that both people agree to how it should go about. And should there be a disagreement, how it's going to happen. You know why? Because if you're not slothful in that business, you can keep your testimony, keep your friendships, and the testimony of your church will continue to be good. Hey. Amen? Amen? I thank the Lord we haven't had any problems like this that I know of. Amen? We haven't had any of that. And I thank God for that. But you'll be surprised one day this church is going all along and, man, God's really blessing and brother so-and-so says, hey, man, God's good. Let's get into partnership together and let's go sell some widgets. Better be careful. Make sure you do everything as a pattern of Scripture, putting your testimony and others before yourself, preferring one another, willing to be defrauded, willing to be... And you know, there's some times when I've helped somebody, and I didn't expect it back in return. And if they paid it back, fine. But if they didn't, I wasn't going to worry about it. And you know, I say this to say this point, is that when these things are right and good, God really blesses it. God really blesses it. And every Christian should be very diligent when we come into a place where we're working in business with somebody else. Amen? I'm sorry, it only had 10 points on that one. All right. One more and we'll be done. Notice verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now, that is not just a requirement for preachers, given to hospitality. You know that word hospitality has to do with a hospital? We should be hospitable to other people. What would you think if you went into a hospital and they said, sit down in that chair over there. What are you complaining about? What's wrong with you? You think you're sick? You ain't sick. You're not throwing up yet. What's wrong with you? Your eyes are still, they're not green yet. Man, what are you complaining about? Some nurse comes to you and throws some medicine in your lap. Take it. If you don't take it, I'll take it back. What would you think if you went to a hospital and they were not hospitable? You know, this is how Christians ought to act, treat others. I fear sometimes our testimony gets hurt in the world. Christianity in general gets hurt in this world because Christians just kind of lose hospitality. And you know, God wants us to be hospitable to others, going out of our way. And you have to prefer others to be hospitable. You have to think of others to be hospitable. But you know what? God will bless. God will use that. Now let me ask you, I'm closing tonight. I'm done. Are these things in your life and in your mind, are these principles that you follow with all your heart? Let's ask God to help us follow these principles with all our heart and our mind. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight.